Show Me the Science with Professor Luke O'Neill.
Proudly sponsored by B. Braun, a world-leading provider of healthcare solutions.
Hello, I'm Luke O'Neill and welcome to my podcast, Show Me the Science. Now, this one is great. This is the science of risk. Now, why am I talking about the science of risk? Well, dare I mention the dreaded C word, COVID-19, again. It's in our minds risk, the risk of things. Like, will a vaccine, what's the risk of a vaccine harming you? Or what's the risk of an infection harming you, for instance? So it's very much in our minds with COVID, isn't it? Weighing up risks and what we do about risks as a species and how we do it. And it's a huge area within psychology, so I dare to stray into an area that's not my specialty, but I love psychology, to be honest. I'm always reading stuff about it. Like, what makes someone take a risk and someone not take a risk? What makes us risk averse? Can we handle risk in society? Can we convince people to do something that's risky for their own good? And that's very prominent now with COVID, obviously. But it's a really interesting topic among psychologists. Now, what's this about? Well, how do we perceive it? And, you know, how we define it? Remember, as a scientist, it's very important to get a definition. Risk is defined as the possibility of something bad happening. Okay, so if something's risky, if you do that thing, say, there's a risk that something bad might happen to you. Like bungee jumping, say, there's a risk associated with that. Everything we do in life comes with a risk. Getting out of bed in the morning is a risky thing. Some people have a heart attack when they get out of bed, tragically. You know, walking down the stairs is a risk, you might fall. You know, drinking a hot, scalding cup of tea, putting the kettle on. Everything in life comes with risk. And it turns out, through evolution, we've evolved to be constantly weighing up risks. And constantly deciding to do certain things and not other things. And then taking risks occasionally. You have to take risks in life, otherwise you'd just stay in bed, wouldn't you? There's probably a risk even lying in bed, to be honest. So everything comes at a risk. So it looks like we're highly tuned in our brains. We're hardwired to assess risks and try to figure out how risky these things are. And of course, the big one I'm going to talk about is the risk that comes with taking a vaccine. And as everybody knows by now, there is a risk with taking, say, the AstraZeneca vaccine or the Johnson & Johnson one of clots.
The authorities in the Republic of Ireland have recommended temporarily suspending the use of the AstraZeneca vaccine while investigations are carried out into four new reports of blood clotting in patients.
And that's causing consternation. It's still worrying people. I will come back to that a bit later. But what if I offer you a drink right now? And I've got a cup and I hand you this drink and I say, there's a 1 in a million chance that this drink is going to kill you. I'm going to give you the risk of drinking this thing I'm giving you. And there's a 1 in a million that you're going to die.
I like those odds.
Would you drink that? Now imagine you're sitting there and I've handed you the drink and it's in front of you. Would you take a risk and drink it? Recent surveys have shown as many as 1 in 3 won't. So even though 1 in a million seems like a really low risk, doesn't it? Oh, I'm not having that because that might kill me, you know. So again, it's very interesting how we perceive risk and why we're prepared to take a risk on something. Of course, if I say to you, if you don't take this drink, you have a 1 in 100 chance of dying of something else, then you might take it, you know. So it's often weighing up the two risks that becomes very, very important. It's natural to be hesitant when you're going to take a vaccine. You're in the chair, the needle's coming towards you, you've read somewhere in the media that this might be a danger or might not be. You're going to feel slightly anxious, and that's perfectly natural. You've evolved to protect yourself, remember. And very often, what you're responding with is your gut. We call this phrase gut feeling.
This is giving me a really bad feeling.
You know there's a 1 in a million chance, but yet you're still saying, oh God, I don't like the look of that. You know, your gut is telling you, hang on. Your brain goes, that's a really remote chance of it happening. I'm not going to be worrying about it, you know. But then again, your gut, your evolved instinct is to be cautious and say, well, look, will I take it? Unless, of course, you're Spock in Star Trek. He was so logical.
Your friend Spock is a logical man.
He would take the drink, 1 in a million, because he knows logically the chance of harm happening there is infinitesimally small, you know, so it's very important. So again, how we weigh these things up, I guess, is the essence of that. Now, the other thing to say about the COVID aspect of this, just to give you some more numbers on it, we now know from the AstraZeneca vaccine and Johnson & Johnson, you have a 1 in a million chance of dying from the vaccine. Right, that's the first thing. But the truth is, you have a much higher chance of dying from the virus. So in Ireland, for example, and again, it sort of depends on how you measure it, there's a roughly 10 deaths per day from the virus, you see. So 10 people a day will be dying from the virus. you have a one in a million chance of dying from the vaccine. So obviously, your logical prime would go take the vaccine, because that's going to, you know, the risk of it is infinitesimally small compared to the risk of dying. So again, we're trying to convince people, I suppose, that one thing is safe and one thing isn't. But again, even our own NIAC, the advisory committee, they decided to pause the AstraZeneca vaccine, knowing the science, that the chance of harm was tiny, tiny, tiny chance, and yet they must have responded with their gut, did they? I don't know. But certainly it's a bit strange as to why they took that decision, given that the harm from the virus vastly outweighed any harm from the vaccine. I guess they might have been worried about people being generally frightened of vaccines and want to do something responsible. The European Medicines Agency, of course, said keep using the vaccine. In our wisdom, we decided to pause it for a few days there until the EMA told us again that it was safe. I mean, it's again, NIAC, I guess, is behaving like a gut feeling, a human response. Now, the big question becomes, what makes us risk averse, or how do we weigh things up? And there's a great book. A guy called Dave Ropiak has written this book called
How Risky Is It Really? Can you?
And I'm going to give you my kind of summary as to why it is that we risk doing certain things and not doing other things, right? The main thing in his book is we don't respond to numbers, we respond to emotion. And humans are very emotional creatures. And the fear factor is a massive emotion. And I can give you any number of stats and, you know, one in this and one in a thousand, all the rest of it. You'll go, no.
Not listening. I'm not listening.
I'm emotional. I don't like those numbers. I'm not going to do this thing, you see, for instance. And again, I guess that's an evolved trait. It's like we're built kind of for emotional responses. We're not necessarily built to respond to numbers. Now, how do we assess risk then? There's three reasons why risks loom large. Like, in other words, if I tell you something's risky and you then listen to me and you decide not to do it, right? What are you responding to? What things loom large? First of all, a thing called salience. Now, what that means is this thing is really important to you. It's in your mind. Now, the vaccine business is exactly that. It's on the news every night that those vaccines were causing clots. So it's in your mind and you don't hear the one in a million. All you hear is, oh, it's on the news. It's highly salient to you. It seems to be a danger. So there you might go, right, I'm not having that vaccine because it's in my mind the whole time. Salience is the first thing that we look at. The second thing is how much control you have over something. And if you feel you have no control, then you won't take the risk. Now, again, having a vaccine stuck in your arm, that's out of your control. And you can't control the risk of it causing a clot, can you? Say, oh, no, I'm not having that. I'm not control. A great example there is when you drive in your car or you fly, you will say, look, it's safer to drive my car than it is to fly. Right? That is complete nonsense. You're at much higher risk of having an accident when you're driving than a plane crash. And yet your perception is it's safer to drive. Why is that? Because you're doing the driving. You're the one who's in charge. You know, oh no, it must be safer to drive. I'm the one driving the car, you know. Flying is out of my control. So therefore, I think flying is riskier. And again, this studies have shown this, that people will say, oh, it's you're more likely to die in a plane crash than in a car crash, for example. But certainly control is a big feature of this. If you have no control, you're going to find things a bit riskier. And the third aspect is trust. Do you trust the person who's sort of recommending you do this or giving you the vaccine or whatever it might be? And if you don't trust them, you say, I'm not having that, right? Now, luckily with vaccines, we're inclined to trust scientists, thankfully. I like that because I'm a scientist myself. We're inclined to trust our GP and we'll just take it. Okay, I'm emotional. I don't want it, but I trust you. I trust you, my GP. I will take the vaccine. The ones we don't trust are politicians, so they should shut up because they put people off. And they stood back in the UK, actually, during the AstraZeneca fear. Politicians stopped talking about it. They stopped reassuring people because they knew, on average, people didn't trust politicians. If your GP said, take this vaccine, then you would, you see. So trust is the third key feature of this whole business. And so therefore, you know, when you respond to something, try and keep those three things in mind. If it's highly relevant to you, you might be risk averse. If you feel you have no control, you might be risk averse. But then if you don't know enough about it and you've got questions, go to someone you trust and they will reassure you. So for example, absolutely people should take these vaccines because the benefit far outweighs the risk. And all the data and all the numbers and all the science say that. So please try to remember that when you're now about to be vaccinated. And I'm using the vaccine as an example, obviously. But now let me finish up with a few very interesting things. Get ready for this. We evaluate risks and we know how risky certain things are. Last January, The world top 10 risks were listed for humanity. Now, this is interesting. How risky were these things? The first one was the President of the United States of America. That's risky for the earth. Why is that? Half the people voted for Biden, the other half didn't. And that means Biden may not be the guy. In other words, he might make decisions that put us at risk in America. Now, no one can win that one, can they? But he's such a powerful job. They reckon that whoever the president is puts the world at risk. The second risk actually listed in January was long COVID. Now, why is that on the list? Well, we worry about it, don't we? If that's more common than we think, if it's affecting more people, that's a risky thing for the earth. If one in five people have it, that's a risk for us as a species. Number three was climate change, always there. And as we know, in many ways, that should be number one, it must be said. Number four was US-China tensions. That might escalate and put the world at risk. And number five is data privacy. There's an awful lot more hacking going on. There's, all kinds of things happening with regard to data management, manipulating data. They are ranked as the top five risks for humankind. In other words, if any one of them goes wrong, the whole of us are at risk. Our species is at risk in various ways, climate change being an obvious one. Now, let me home in a bit more on risks, though. Now, this is risk of dying from something. Get ready. The highest risk for humans in their lifetime of death is heart disease. There's a 1 in 6 chance that you, listening to me, will die of heart disease. You have a 1 in 7 chance of dying of cancer. You have a 1 in 285 chance of dying by being shot. Guess where? In which country? The US. It's a lot lower here, obviously, very importantly, but there's a risk of dying of that. You have a 1 in 1,000 chance of dying of drowning. You have a 1 in 132,000 chance of dying from a dog attack. These are real things. You have a 1 in a million chance of dying of being struck by lightning. Thank goodness for that. And you have a 1 in 1,000,000 chance of dying from the AstraZeneca vaccine. Isn't that great? So try and weigh these risks up one against the other. Now, you do have a 1 in 150,000 chance of getting a clot from the vaccine, but you have a 1 in 100,000 chance of dying in a car crash. And so the great line there is you're at higher risk of harm driving to the vaccine centre than from being vaccinated. Try and remember that as a key thing. Now, a few more that I like. You have a 1 in 185,000 chance of dying on the operating table. You have a 1 in 200,000 chance of dying of scuba diving. That's extremely safe. Of course it is. And then a list of things. Sports. Guess what the most dangerous sports are? You have a 1 in 100 chance of dying if you're a Grand Prix racing driver. That's pretty high. So when those guys get in the racing car, they have a 1 in 100 chance of dying. That's a very high, actually, rate of death. It's 1 in 1,000 for motorbiking. Hang gliding is 1 in 560 chance of dying. The bungee jump. I bet some people won't take a bungee jump. Oh, I don't have to look at that. That's a classic example of your gut telling you, why would I throw myself off a bridge and bounce up and down for a while? That's a high risk activity. What's the risk of harm from bungee jumping? 1 in 500,000. It's almost zero. That's like very negligible risk. And that, again, that gives you an idea of how we perceive things. Now, finally, a list of things that humans were involved in and the risk of those outside things like sports. If you were living in London in the year 1665, you had a 1 in 15,000 chance of dying of the Black Death, which is pretty low. If you're a fireman in World War II, you had a 1 in 1,000 chance of dying. They were putting their lives on the line, if you like. If you're a civilian in London during the Blitz in World War II, you had a 1 in 200 chance of dying, which is very high. And one that's very close to home in Ireland, if you're a policeman in Northern Ireland during the Troubles, it was a 1 in 70 chance of dying. That's a really high risk of dying. So again, we owe a great debt to people who put their lives on the line for us. I guess that's why they're heroes in some ways. And in the wars, if you're in World War II, guess what the chance of dying was? 1 in 56. That's high, but not too high. It was higher than World War I. You had a 1 in 89 chance of dying. And these endless movies about Vietnam, as we all know, you had a 1 in 185 chance of dying in Vietnam. So again, a lot lower risk of dying in that war than in World War I and World War II. Now, you've gathered by now, you're probably saying he's churning out these numbers and we don't care. We don't care about numbers. We respond with emotions. But isn't it a fascination? All these things have been evaluated. The risk of doing all these things are now known. You have to live your life as best you can. You can decrease risk of heart disease by changing your diet. You can decrease your risk of car crashes by wearing a safety belt and having an airbag. And all these things can be mitigated against. But very importantly, You can decrease your risk of COVID-19, long COVID, and of dying of that disease by taking the vaccine, where the risk of being harmed by that vaccine is minimal. So please remember that. And of course, everybody should be vaccinated. I would say that, wouldn't I? But that's what the science tells us. Don't respond with your gut. Respond as best you can, like Mr. Spock. Live long and prosper. Look at the numbers. Be logical, and you will lead a full and better life. So thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the science of risk. And don't forget to download my podcast, Show Me the Science. Every Thursday it comes out. And don't forget, I'm with Pat Kenny every week on Newstalk. And thanks for listening.
Show Me the Science with Professor Luke O'Neill.
Proudly sponsored by B. Braun. Saluting our frontline heroes for their outstanding commitment to the health of the nation.